Hello, Scott Wells for The Magic Word, and I'm here today with Harry Maurer, who had just given us an excellent presentation on the perception of deception. Is that right, Harry?
The perfection of deception.
And the way
magicians would be able to use magic in ways you wouldn't expect.
So tell me a little bit more about this.
Well, the lecture itself I started putting together years ago, and it's actually about magicians who have stopped political uprisings from occurring, magicians who helped the CIA, the Secret Service, England's MI5, and one magician who was responsible for defeating Rommel's forces in North Africa in World War II and changing the course of the war by using nothing more than principles of magic.
And you said like Maskelyne and Mulholland, and of course Houdini being a secret agent.
And Robert Houdin.
That's right, Houdin. And so all of these. And lots of fascinating stories in about 50 minutes or so. That was just a perfect time, I think, that everybody was on the edge of their seats. Not too long, not too short.
Well, I keep editing it. I don't want it to make it more than 50 minutes. I always want to keep it under an hour.
Right.
Because obviously there's programs involved where you don't want to go over time. And you want to leave enough time for people to be able to have some questions afterwards. And also, just in case the people are coming in a little bit late, like today we had this incredible storm.
Right.
And I'm still amazed at how many people were here. But we had this incredible storm, and so we started a little bit late, and still we're not going to run over.
And the slideshow presentation that you supplemented with that, you pulled some excellent slides that really kind of helped make it, bring it more to life also.
I like to make it more of a story, and I want people to be able to follow along with it. And when you're talking about something that happens in the 1800s or the early 1900s, you want to give people a little piece of the era, and you want them to experience it. So rather than just talk about it, I want them to see it.
Right, so you kind of did it chronologically and talking about all the information.
Actually, I jumped around.
You did a little bit. I was going to say towards the end, you kind of brought it back to World War II then again, and I thought, oh, I hope he didn't forget about Maskelyne. And then you came back and,
right,
because I thought that was the most fascinating part.
I mean, chronologically would be a good way to do it, but just Maskelyne was so amazing with the things that he did that,
right,
I wanted to close with that.
Sure.
So I jump ahead. I go from Robert Houdin to Houdini, and then I jump ahead to the 1950s and the CIA,
right,
and then jump back to World War II.
Right, right. And the different stories I thought that you had talked about without exposing any secrets whatsoever, was very good saying, of course, that some of this was used magic, obviously, some principles that were known, et cetera, without saying what they were.
Right.
So,
well, this whole talk started, actually, years ago. I was asked, and I'm talking more than 20 years ago, I was asked by Johnson & Johnson Corporation. There was a group of scientists called Sigma Xi. It's the Organizational Society for the Scientific Community of Johnson & Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked me to do a talk that would explain how magic works. And I never wanted to expose how magic works, but I wanted them to understand the perception of magic and how they can be deceived. Because scientists don't believe they can be deceived.
They're the easiest, yeah.
They're the easiest.
Isn't that what Banachek had done, work with the Alpha Project,
that's
proving
right.
That, exactly.
That's
right.
I remember sitting with these physicists telling me how it is physically possible for metal to pass through metal. And I'm looking at this saying, no, it's a trick.
Yeah.
It's a trick.
You may think that it happens, but it looks like it happened, but it really doesn't
happen. That's right.
Yeah. Well, all the slides and everything, how long did it take you to pull all that together?
Oh, years. I mean, I started this process, this particular lecture, when I brought it out and dusted it off and started putting it back together with a slideshow, I'd say that's 2 years worth of putting it together. I don't remember how many slides there are, but there's close to 100.
Oh, easily 100. I'd say,
they all dissolve one into the other and
right.
Becomes part of the story.
Almost a movie. Yeah.
It does. Mm-hmm. It, as a matter of fact, it probably would stand by itself if I just narrated and let it happen.
Right. Fascinating. And you've been giving this talk several times already and
yes.
Getting it to the point now?
Yeah, I started doing this, like I said, with Johnson & Johnson, and then about a year or two, I started doing it for a group here in Houston, a breakfast club, one of the mm-hmm. business groups.
Right.
And they asked me to do it, and Frank was there.
Yeah. Right.
And Frank, frankly, he loved it. He really loved it. And I was really rough and rusty then. And I was really uncomfortable as a public
yeah.
speaker. And then I took that, and I started honing it down, and I used it on the ships.
Mm-hmm.
And I would start developing the same talk on the ships. And the nice thing about the ships is you have full theaters, beautiful large stages, and incredible projection equipment.
Sound system and all that, sure.
Yeah, so it really comes across really, really, really slick looking. So I got to hone it there, and I do it in country clubs, and I do it for business groups, and now I've got a couple of agents who are representing me and promoting this as a, what is it called, a... Can't remember.
Like a National Speakers Bureau kind of a thing?
Yeah, it's a Speakers Bureau thing, but during the evening, a talk.
Toastmasters?
Yeah, it's something else, though.
When you got involved with Toastmasters, I was going to say, when did, how long you been... A Toastmaster.
I started that about not long ago, maybe about 8 months ago.
So actually you kind of had this the speech, you know, you've been working on for a long time, and then you refined it by going to Toastmasters and learning how to be a better speaker.
You know what's nice about Toastmasters is I could take segments of the speech.
And that's true.
I could rewrite them. I would rewrite them because now you're only taking a 7-minute segment.
Correct.
And I could take that 7-minute segment and really develop it and hone it down and take out anything that was junky and add things that made it a lot clearer for people. So I was able to take this and chop this down in 7-minute segments and really hone it down at the in front of people.
Awesome. And so you are planning on taking this, obviously, on the road and going wherever with it? Or what are your long-term plans?
Yeah, I am. It's going to be just another avenue that I'll do for entertainment.
Are you thinking about putting it in some sort of a book, e-book, or you just say...
I don't know.
I've never seen everything you've talked about in one place. I've read all of these stories in individual places, but really never everything all together.
It would be interesting. I mean, I wouldn't mind doing it, and it might be something I would consider putting together later on.
It's something good if you were to, since you've given the speech a few times, and the more that you do that, the more refined it's going to be, of taking some of those exact words and just putting them into writing, you know, basically, and then maybe arranging them somehow or another. And
right.
And I know a lot of books are written that way, start off as a spoken word and then convert it over to writing.
I'd have to expand upon it. I would consider it.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably add more to it. I mean, this right
flesh
now, I mean, just
more.
As a speech, it's probably about 18 to 20 pages long.
Right. But it keeps people on the edge of their seats because it's very entertaining and you've got the right amount of jokes in the right place and everything, so it's done very well. Tell me a little bit more about Harry Mao. For those who don't know you, one of the questions that was asked over there was tell us something more about you, which I think would be a good opening thing to prove your credibility and then, you know, go into the speech. So tell us something about you.
That would be a good idea. Well, you and I met at Magic Island. And
sure.
I started at Magic Island when, like, I think the first year when it was there.
And the 80s,
I used to come in from Atlantic City because I would perform at more than half the casinos in Atlantic City, and I would come to Houston about 8 weeks a year, working at Magic Island 4 weeks at a time, and I had a great time, and I loved Houston. And so you know me from my work in Atlantic City. I work on cruise ships all over the world, and I usually spend about 4 or 5 months of the year on the ships, and the rest of the time I perform in colleges. I work private events for companies and corporations, and we do the cruise ships.
Right. And you are based out of Houston?
Based out of Houston.
Yep. And mainly just corporate type of work and everything that you do in stage shows and doing illusions. And
I like to call it hysterically classy entertainment.
I like that. That's very good. And you had been nominated as the Entertainer of the Year in Atlantic City, isn't that right?
And it's for 2 back-to-back shows that I did at the old Golden Nugget Hotel.
And you still go back from time to time to Atlantic
City? I do.
City,
as a matter of fact, I'm supposed to be back there, I think, in March and definitely in June.
Yeah. So what are the long-term plans then for Harry Mauer 5 and 10 years from now?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not quite sure. Still performing and still developing. And I mean, I try to put new things into the show when I can, but it takes a long time. I'm not the kind of person who can just put a routine into a show in a week and just get it up on stage. It takes me, from the moment I think about it till the time I finally get it on stage, is about 2 years.
And the cruise ship industry has kind of gone up and down, no pun intended, but it seems that right now that they're not hiring as many magicians or having as long contracts as they used to. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, and so the listeners might be interested?
Well, I'm not quite sure about that because, again, when I come out, I still do long contracts when I'm on a ship, and I know there's other magicians who are out there for long periods of time. I know that the cruise ships have cut down their budgets a lot, so they don't use a lot of guest entertainers anymore, which is what we would be considered.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd rather use their dance production groups and things like that.
Those who have like a year contract with the cruise and
stay
with them.
And they're employees of the cruise line.
Exactly.
So they're not a guest
entertainer.
Staff
duties.
Mm-hmm. So they're not necessarily, and I don't want to put them down.
Sure.
They're good shows. They're good acts.
Right.
But they're not professional entertainers.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't developed an act. You know, when they come onto a ship as a staff entertainer, it's something they put together for that particular contract.
Right.
You know, where a magician may spend his life putting a show together.
Just that show.
Yeah.
You're right. They're singing and dancing. They're rehearsing during the day, and then they're calling bingo and they're waiting tables and whatever else type of staff duties, you know, the rest of the time, too. So, and usually kids out of college or something and fairly young. Or comedians who are just not carrying props or anything. You know, it's easier for the ship and cheaper for them, I think, to get a comedian. But, I just wanted to kind of get your take on the nature of cruise ships today.
I think it's in flux right now. I think by By the summer, I think things are going to change around, and they're going to realize that they need good entertainment. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have accidents like that just happened in Italy
right.
And I'm not going to blame it on entertainment, but the thing is, when you have, and you have, there was a whole TV special on, it was on 2020 or Nightline, mm-hmm. about people who've gotten, who get drunk, get lost, at, you know, jump off the ship, cause a lot of accidents and things like this. It's because they have nothing to do. They're bored.
Right.
They're bored. They have nothing to do.
Right.
So, you know, entertainment is a valuable asset, and I think that they start realizing that once they realize the repercussions for not having entertainment.
And it's not the destination either. You know, a lot of people don't even get off the ship. I mean, they'll stay on the ship and rather than going out to port and seeing same old crap, different island kind
there
of
are.
Thing.
I mean, some of the most popular cruises are called crossings, and that's because they'll start in one port, they won't even get off the ship, they'll just be there for a week or two, and they may stop at one place
right.
just to refuel or something like this, but otherwise it's just going from one place to the other, and the ship is the destination.
Pretty much, and everybody just stays on because they enjoy the food, and I think ships are going to certainly be around then for a long time, because that is just all in one type of entertainment that people can go and they got a place to stay, they can eat and drink, you know, just a few extras that they pay for the drinks or whatever. So, and entertainment, I mean, it's all there in one place.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I think it's going to be around for a long time. Well, because my magic podcast is called The Magic Word, my question to you is, what is your magic word?
What's my magic word?
Yes.
Magic word.
It could be something that you live by.
Clarity.
Clarity, okay.
Clarity.
And you were very clear today, I think, you know, in your presentation. It was presented with great clarity.
As soon as I took off the microphone.
A little bit of problem with the mic, yeah.
Yes, yes.
But that was okay, and I think everybody was glad that you, when you finally did, it was a bad battery or something. But
I don't know.
Okay. Clarity is important. Well, thank you, Harry. I appreciate your time very much,
and
also your friendship as well.
Thanks.
So, that was Harry Maurer. This is Scotty out.